Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome wherever you are watching from online or wherever you are in the world. A big hello from all of us here in Perth. Our Myrie campus is not gathering today, so you know, good on you. You're watching online and gathering in your connect groups. I just pray that you're turning your homes into houses of revival today as we're having revival services. Come on, why don't we bow our heads, close our eyes as we pray together, as we give thanks to the Lord for our offering today. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for every person that's faithful and obedient today to bring their tithes to your house. I pray, Father God, that everyone that's giving online, I pray for your blessing to be upon them. Lord God, never allow us to forget that you are the God that gives us the power to get wealth. And today, Father God, we're returning a portion of really what is rightfully yours for your glory today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, who's believing that God is going to do something incredible today? As you would have heard on the screen, a news today that tomorrow night is our mega prayer night. And if you're in the Perth region, we're gathering at our Myrie campus. But if you're in the Southwest region, we're gathering at our Bunbury campus for a mega prayer night. Because, you know, there's something very special about gathering in person to pray. And all our restrictions in Western Australia are lifting, so we are able to do that. Also, conference is going to be off the charts. It is happening this Friday night and into Saturday. It's going to be 24 hours of God reviving you in every way, in every part of your life. Make sure that you register. Do not miss out. You would have heard the testimony of Nicole on the screen as well. How powerful is it? It is a family conference, so make sure that you register for that and get your whole family in an atmosphere of revival. We're so privileged to be able to gather as well. And so it's going to be so good. You know, the sense that I get is that and the season of praying and fasting, which I hope that you're a part of as well, which we started on Monday, that you're leaning into God more now than ever before. How many of you know that we are living, if there's anything that the last 15 months have taught us, is that we need God now more than ever before. And my prayer for you is that in the season of praying and fasting is that you get a sense that God is reviving you personally, but you also lean into the fact that God wants to do something incredible in our city, in our nation, in the nations of the world, wherever that you are right now. God is wanting to move in your life. How many of you watched last week the phenomenal message by Kristen Willett? Pastor Kristen preached an incredible message. And if you haven't seen that yet or heard it or watched it, get onto YouTube and watch it online. But today, I get a sense that God wants to go even further with what he wants to do with us. And I want to teach real practical today. Is that okay? Today, I want you to turn with me to the text in Exodus chapter 14. It's a chapter where Moses had convinced Pharaoh to release the Israelites from slavery. I mean, you'd think it'd all be sweet, right? He goes to Pharaoh and Pharaoh says, okay, I relent. These plagues are driving me nuts. You can have all of your people and they can leave Egypt. And you think that they could just cruise on out of there. 400 years of slavery, we're going to leave it all behind. And you know, the Egyptian king would just let his entire labor force cruise out of there. But that's not the case. Exodus chapter 14, verse 5 says this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We've let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. We're going to jump down to verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." But Moses answered the people, catch this, he says this, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Can we give God a big shout of praise for an incredible passage of scripture? Thank you so much. Catherine. So Pharaoh changed his mind about letting 1 million Jews repatriate out of his country. I mean, of course he did. This was his entire labor force. This was going to crumble the entire Egyptian economy. So he musters up his chariots and his entire army pursues these fleeing Israelites. You can imagine, right? This is like about 1 million Jews. Now, this was the whole spectrum of society. They had the elderly, they had pregnant, waddling women trying to outrun chariots. I mean, this was mayhem. It was complete chaos. And so this is incredibly unsettling for the Israelites because they thought that they were home and hosed. They thought, we're out of Egypt. We're gone from here. And suddenly the goalposts have changed. It's like you can imagine them saying, Moses, you said we were free to go. Moses, you said that Pharaoh was letting us leave. And what is all this about the chariots and the army now pursuing us? We can't outrun chariots on foot and with our donkeys loaded up. And Moses spoke faith into their hearts. He says this, do not be afraid, stand firm. You see, nothing plays with our minds more than shifting circumstance. Some of you would agree with me. When goalposts change, we don't like uncertainty. We don't like the things that happen around us where suddenly we're meant to pivot and be agile and all these modern funky words that we've learned in the last 15 months. We don't really like it because our hearts want to be reassured. There's something about the human soul that craves certainty. Hello, come on. When there is a perceived absence of certainty, we equate certainty with danger. We equate it with catastrophe. We equate it with despair. And Moses was tasked with leading God's people in an incredibly uncertain time where the goalposts are constantly changing. And he uses this phrase that is seen in the Bible time and time again to affirm God's people. And Moses says this, do not be afraid, stand firm. Everyone say, stand firm. And you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. So today I want to preach to you on the thought, stand firm. Stand firm. In this middle weekend of our 2-week period of praying and fasting, I really sense that the Lord wants to speak to us about standing firm. We are living in uncertain times, you know, COVID lockdowns and you know, vaccination hesitancy. We've heard all the different conspiracy theories. What should I believe about what's going on in the world? Who can I truly depend on? Who can I trust? Can I really believe the media? Can I really believe the politicians? Can I really believe the medical professionals? And if I do, which ones? The ones that tell us that the vaccine is safe or the ones that tell us that no, you shouldn't take those vaccines right now? Can I believe the reports coming out of this country or that country about that economic situation and that particular COVID report over there? What can I believe? Uncertain times, troubled times, they are felt realities for us and they can make us feel very shaky. How many of you have felt shaky at different times in the last 15 months? So many swirling voices about what to believe. It can actually heighten our stress and play to our deep anxieties. Though it feels like life is more uncertain and troubled now more than ever before, I want to remind you that uncertainty and trouble has actually been part of life ever since sin entered into the world. In fact, Jesus actually says this in John 16, verse 33, in this world, you will have trouble. Well, that's not very encouraging, is it, Jesus? He says, in this world, you will have trouble. But here's the encouragement. He says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He wasn't speaking to unbelievers. He was actually gathering his disciples and said, boys, in this world, you will have trouble. In other words, Christians, you should expect that for as long as you're alive in this world, you're going to see trouble. But here is the encouragement. I have overcome the world. You know, troubled times for 21st century modern Western people, troubled times come in the form of uncertainty. For us, that is what troubled times feels like, where the goalposts are constantly changing. It's an Australian expression for the constantly changing environment. This rapid rate of new and changing information coming to hand quickly, forcing us to change our plans. I mean, what if you hate change? I hate change. I like to plan things. Hello. I like to make plans, and it can be very unsettling when suddenly, you know, there's new rules. And it's in seasons like these that we can get sucked into all the voices out there and get swamped with information overload. Have you noticed how the more information we have, the less peace we've actually got? Yeah. Hello? the more access we've got to what the Word and all these different voices, the more unstable we feel that we are. Now, we might not have real chariots pursuing us and driving us into the sea, but maybe emotionally and mentally you're feeling overwhelmed that there is so many different things happening around you. And even for believers, we can feel like we're being swayed from left to right, and we're prone to meltdowns, and we just want to throw the towel in and hide and to retreat and to retract. But this is what I want to encourage you with today. In uncertain times, our unchanging God is calling us to stand firm. In uncertain times, our unchanging God is calling us to stand firm in Him. You know, this phrase, stand firm, has been swirling and resonating in my heart for the last 15 months, and only now I feel really released to preach it. So I feel that there's a prophetic conversation God wants to have with us even right now. Stand firm. Stand firm in what, you might ask? Well, I just sense that the church, as believers and as disciples, we need to stand firm in our faith now more than ever before. We need to stand firm in our convictions now more than ever before. I don't know if you've noticed, but there is an ongoing acceleration of an assault on our faith. An assault on what we believe and our convictions, and an assault on the Word of God, and an assault on Christian values. And now more than ever before, God is saying, I want you in uncertain and changing times to stand firm on an unchanging God. I need a resounding amen from you. And so here were these Israelites. They were in this place of changing, moving rules all the time, that yes, we can go and now we can't go, and the chariots are chasing us. And you know, that sense of uncertainty can draw us into a place of great fear. And you know, they even cried out, said, Moses, you should have left us in Egypt. Now you're leading us to our death. See, our first response to uncertainty, our first response to trouble is always fear. But how many of you know that that's not the response God desires for us to have? During the time of the divided kingdom of Judah and Israel, Isaiah was sent by God to talk to the king of Judah, who was under siege and being attacked by Syria and her allies. And so you know, the nation of Judah was in a similar place to what the nation of Israel was when they were coming out of Egypt. And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 3, the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear Jashub, to meet Ahaz, the king, at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field, and say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. So God told Isaiah to say the same thing to Ahaz that he told Moses to say to his people. Don't be afraid. The reason for that is we equate trouble with reason to fear, but Jesus equates trouble with reason to stand firm. We give ourselves license to fear when there's trouble, but Jesus gives us license to stand firm when trouble comes. In fact, God then says to Isaiah, I want you to tell Ahaz this in verse 9 of Isaiah 7. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Whew. Man, that is a prophetic statement to this generation now more than ever before. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. I want to prophesy this over our church. Come on, Nations Church. Now more than ever, if we don't stand for our faith, we will not be standing at all. We're going to be caving in to whatever the world wants to shape us into believing, whatever fear-mongering that is out there. If we do not stand firm in our faith, we will not stand at all. I know that times are uncertain. I know that trouble is around us. But I tell you what, we got to stand firm in our faith or we will not stand at all. This is such a critical conversation of standing firm. The reason for that is that I think that God is actually preparing us for what is to come. We are beginning a season of real tumultuous times around the world. That globally, there's all sorts of things that are happening. And Jesus has already foreseen this. He's preparing us for what is to come. In fact, he says this in Mark 13, verse 7 to his disciples. 2,000 years ago, he says this. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. For such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. Mark 13, verse 13 says this, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. That expression endures to the end is the same thing. He who stands firm to the end, he who stands firm when all of these things are happening, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. There is a chance for the church not to melt down and fall apart in troubled times, but to stand firm to the end. Maybe you're standing and you're feeling shaky because you're standing on the wrong things. Hello? Come on, we've all stood on the wrong things. Some of you have been standing on your health diagnosis that isn't incredibly encouraging and you're wondering why your faith is shaky. Some of you have been standing on your counselor's assessment of the state of your marriage right now and you're feeling despondent and you're falling apart. Maybe you're here today and you're standing on the opinions of people on blogs and websites that you've been reading and all these things and wondering why you're feeling shaky on the inside. I want to say this to you today. Stand firm on an unchanging God. Because if you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. This season of praying and fasting, I sense more than ever that God is going to do stuff in us, but He's going to strengthen our faith. He's going to strengthen our resolve and our convictions that God is in control in the most troubled of times. You know, this whole thing of standing firm is so important for all of us because we can only do so much. As a church, you got to be able to stand firm beyond the pastoral care meal that is sent to you. Hello, come on. We do that because we love you. But you know, if you're reliant on a pastoral care meal or a phone call from the church pastor to see how you're going in order to stand firm, then good luck to you when the heat really comes. It's important for us. We do those things we care because we care for you, but there's got to come a time where every disciple has got to be able to stand firm on their own convictions on who God is. Stand firm on the Word of God. Stand firm on who He's called you to be. Moses in Exodus chapter 14 and now Isaiah in Isaiah 7 are these conversations that God is having with His people about standing firm. But Paul also has a similar conversation with the New Testament believers in the church in Ephesus, particularly the church in Ephesus was an incredible church. God was doing some powerful things. And in fact, the scholars believe that there was actually a revival in the church of Ephesus, that people were getting saved left, right, and center in a city that was traditionally very pagan. They worshipped the goddess of fertility. There was high immorality and all these things. And God, the grace of God was moving like never before. Oh, I pray that God will move in our cities the way that He moved in the church in the city of Ephesus. And I pray that our church would be like the church in Ephesus that was growing in the sense of what God was doing. In fact, there was one account that was recorded by scholars and researchers here. My study Bible tells me that the city of Ephesus became a center for evangelistic outreach to the rest of the province of Asia. In fact, so many people in Ephesus turned to Christ and renounced their pagan ways that some craftsmen in the city started a riot because the gospel threatened their trade of making and selling idols. I look forward to the day where pub and nightclub owners are going to be rioting because the church has seen revival in the city. Come on, are you out there? I look forward to the time where people maybe not looking forward to riots, but I'm looking forward to the time where the church is making such an impact on society that people are upset that we're actually rocking the city like we should with the gospel in Jesus' name. So it was a tumultuous time for the Christians in Ephesus. The people were uprising and they were persecuting the Christians. And Paul started to encourage the church in Ephesus from imprisonment by saying the same words that Moses said and Isaiah said. And these are the words, stand firm. Paul teaches us that standing firm in God is actually about spiritual warfare. Yes, I'm going to go there now for the rest of the message. Is that okay? Paul says in troubled times, you need to remember this. Verse 12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So church, that calamity that you fear is coming to you, that catastrophe that you think will affect your family, that uncertainty that is rocking you right now, that illness that is threatening to limit your long-term future, that dark cloud hanging over your mind when you try and sleep at night, that fear that grips you, that anxiety that keeps you up at night, these are not earthly problems that require earthly solutions. They may affect our lives here on earth, but they are spiritual problems, and spiritual problems require spiritual weapons in order for us to stand firm in our faith. I want you to make no mistake that there is a devil that seeks your destruction. Christians, hear me. Just because you're a Christian, it does not mean you're insulated from spiritual warfare. It does not mean that you don't have to fight against the devil. If that is your theology, you clearly haven't read Ephesians 6. Because Paul teaches this, Ephesians 6, verse 10. He says this to Christians, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Hold up, what? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Then it says this in verse 14, the same phrase used by Moses, the same phrase used by Isaiah, stand firm. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, Christian, let me ask you this. Paul talks about armor. Obviously, it's metaphoric. But why would you need to put on armor if you're not going to go into battle? The reason why he's asking you to put on the spiritual armor, the armor of God, this is not some fancy dress party. Hello. Yeah. Fighting, contending, warfaring, that is all part of our Christian journey. Oh, I want to, my prayer for us is that God will revive the fight in the believer. He's got to revive a bit of the fight in us. You know what I'm talking about? He's got to revive a bit of that sense that we're contending against, not against flesh and blood, but against the evil one, the schemes of the enemy. Yeah. Jesus has already won the victory, but he's inviting us to the fight. Yeah. Paul says, put on the full armor of God, not just like part of it, but all of it, because we wrestle. Yes, Christians, we are actually in a wrestle. It's a grapple. It's this whole picture of that whole Roman Greco wrestling thing, that grapple that's ongoing and sustained. It's not against flesh and blood. Come on. Yes, that difficult person you work with is not the real enemy. Come on. Hello. Yeah. That really difficult mother-in-law, she's not the real enemy. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of this dark age. It is not the COVID jab that you're fighting. Hello. It is not the conspiracy theories you're fighting. It's not the government you're fighting. We do not fight against flesh and blood. And if you're going to have a bit of a fight about you, put on the full armor of God and stand firm, because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. But when your life is under siege, Paul says, put on the whole armor. Church, I want to disciple you in this for the next few minutes. Is that okay? Paul says, put on the full armor. He's saying to the church in Ephesus, I know people are riding against you. I know you're being persecuted right now, but you stand firm by putting on the full armor. The first thing you put on is the belt of truth. The belt's this thing that holds your outfit together. The belt of truth is your reliance on the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus holds it all together. It's what combats the lies and the deception. Put the belt of truth on. But our scholars also say that this belt of truth is about us living with integrity, us loving to live lives of truth. The belt of truth is about us wanting to veer away from dishonesty, wanting to veer away from lack of integrity. When we live our lives wearing the belt of truth, we are going to be standing firm. God, in a resounding amen. And then Paul says, you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was this thing made of a hardened steel that covered the front and the back of a Roman soldier. That this breastplate of righteousness speaks to living in right standing with God. I reckon sometimes people that we feel like we're not standing firm, we're on shaky ground, is because we've got one foot in on right standing with God and one foot in with not in right standing with God. Hello. It's time for the church to decide, I am in right standing with God. I am a Christian. I will live according to what Jesus says. Come on. We are standing in the righteousness of God. And the next thing that Paul says that it's going to keep you standing firm, and I love this, is to wear the shoes of the gospel of peace. This is really interesting. Scholars reckon that Paul was saying you can stand firm in your faith. Your faith is strengthened, is further fortified when you are prepared to preach the gospel to others. There is something about us activating our faith. There's something about us. See, how lovely are the feet of those who bring good news. Paul is actually saying that you stand firm in your faith when you keep talking about your faith to other people. The reason why some of us are shaky is because we haven't even shared our faith with someone. Come on, are you out there? We need to become a church that is revived again in bringing the gospel of peace to a world that needs us. We stand firm better when we're sharing our faith to a world that needs to hear about our faith. No active expression of our faith equals shaky or weak faith, but come on, when a church begins to declare that Jesus is Lord in the street corners, in the marketplaces, in the office block, in the office cubicle, something happens to our faith. We begin to stand firm. Are you out there today? The next part of the armor is the shield of faith. I love this. The shield of faith is the thing that we hold up to protect us against the lies of the fiery darts of the enemy. It's the part of the armor that protects us from when the accusations come. It's the thing that protects us against the sophisticated arguments that tell us that you're not worthy, that you'll never make it, that you're too sinful, you're too dirty, you're too unworthy. The shield of faith is what we hold up when the enemy comes charging in with thoughts that make us anxious, that we stand firm when we hold the shield of faith. Come on, are you out there? We don't hold the shield of faith, we wonder why we're vulnerable. Yeah. The fifth part of the armor is the helmet of salvation. Scholars reckon that the helmet of salvation is what we put on that protects our head. It's when we consider what Jesus has done for us, when we put on the mind of Christ. See, one surefire way to be shaky in your faith is to forget what Jesus has done for you. To forget just how good he is. Just to forget that his mercies are new every morning. And so after putting on the belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, there are actually six elements to this armor. Five are technically armor, but the sixth one is not really an armor, but it's a weapon. Paul says, now after you put on all those first five, you need to take up the sword of the Spirit. The first five were armor, but the sixth one is not really an armor. It's a weapon. The Word of God is your most potent and only weapon in spiritual warfare. For some of us, we've got these amazing Bibles on our shelves. We've got it online, and yet we don't read it. And we try and fight the enemy with like a rubber sword. You know what a rubber sword is? It's a rubber sword. The quotes that where the most Bible that we read is the little meme on Facebook. And we try and fight the devil with a rubber sword. The only Bible that we know is this little thing that we see flashing up as a reminder for the verse of the day. I want to say this to you today. Let the Lord revive your passion for the Word of God, because it's the only weapon that you've got when you're standing firm. For some of us, we need to start making an effort to go to Connect, go to On Track. We're passionate about these things because we're trying to get the sword into your hand. We're trying to get the sword into your hand. My prayer for us today as we step into all that God wants for us in the spirit of praying and fasting, as we're standing firm in Him, that we're being revived in knowing that our best is when we put on the full armor of God. PK, you made your point about standing firm. I'm hearing you. How do I do that? What does that look like? I'm hearing it, you about the armor of God. So is it just willpower? Is it just me standing here and grinning and bearing it and toughing it out? What Paul was saying here to the church in Ephesus had nothing to do with toughening up the Ephesian church. He was just saying, I want you to awaken to the fact that what you're going through right now, these troubled, uncertain times that are going to require you to stand firm, I want you to awaken to the fact that it's a spiritual warfare that you're engaging in. It's a spiritual endeavor. And how do you fight a spiritual war? Very simple. Paul says this in that final verse in verse 18. How do you fight a spiritual war? How do you activate the armor that you wear? You do it with prayer. You do it with prayer. The armor is what God gives us to put on. God gives it to us. But we have to use that armor by prayer. Yeah. Do I get a resounding amen? Yeah. God giving us the armor, that's on Him. What we do with it in prayer, that's on us. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, after putting on all of that armor, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Spiritual warfare without prayer is spiritual defeat. Yeah. Come on. You only get a revelation to pray at all times when you realize that not praying at any time will leave you vulnerable. That's why we're going to have mega prayer night tomorrow night, because we feel like this, what we're in right now, there is no human solution for. Whatever it is that you're going through, the diagnosis that you're feeling right now and you're going through right now, the particular oppression or thing that's on your life right now, the breakthrough that you need, they cannot come by human solutions, and that's why we're going to go to God in prayer. Prayer and fasting is our heartfelt admission that we need Jesus. I don't ever want to be part of a church that's too arrogant or too proud to not depend on Jesus. We can only stand firm by putting on the armor through prayer. I need a resounding amen. We got no chance of standing firm in troubled and uncertain times if we don't pray. That's why we're so passionate about leading our church through periods of praying and fasting. God has given us the armor to put on, but we activate and use the armor by getting on our knees in prayer. I want to encourage you today, stand firm at all times. And we do this with persistent prayer and the conscious wearing of the armor of God. If you're in troubled times right now, if you're going through something and you need a breakthrough, it's not going to come about by sitting around drinking a bit of wine and watching Farmer Wants a Wife. It's going to come because you're prepared to put on the full armor of God and to get on your knees to pray and really dig in and allow God to revive you. Get yourself into an atmosphere of encounter today. Church, let me tell you why standing firm in your faith is no small thing. See, musicians, you can join me. Although my faith is my faith alone, me standing firm in my faith actually deeply affects the people that are connected to me. No greater damage can be done to children than when a parent walks away from their faith. No greater damage can be done to people that have seen a leader fall away in their faith instead of standing firm. No greater damage can be done to my loved ones than for me to renounce my faith one day. God forbid that I ever would do that, to walk away from Jesus and from fellowship. Because Paul says this in Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, after putting on the full armor and activating it by praying, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Keep on praying for everybody that you know that you can influence. Keep on praying for your fellow brothers and sisters. See, our Christian community that we're part of is going to be poorer for it if we don't stand firm. Some of you guys with strong faiths, you think you got that strong faith all on your own? You got that because you had a praying grandmother. Hello, come on. You had that because your mom and dad prayed for you. You had that because your connect leader prayed for you. You had that because your youth leader prayed for you. Imagine if they didn't stand firm in their faith. Where would you be right now? I am only here today because somebody else stood firm in their faith and prayed for a young Ken Lee when I felt shaky. I'm only here today because I had connect leaders that prayed for me, youth leaders that drove me and brought me to encounter services where I can encounter the living God myself. It's important for us to stand firm because our standing firm has profound impact on the people that need us to stand firm. I want to speak to all the leaders of households today, all the moms and dads, stand firm. Your kids need you to stand firm. Your kids need you to model what it is to want to be in an encounter. Your kids need you to model what it is to want to be in an atmosphere of prayer. Your kids need you to model what it's like to want to put on the full armor of God. God is not looking for perfection, He's looking for activation. He's looking for a conviction that we want to stand firm in our faith in troubled times. And if you're dependent on a pastoral care phone call or an encouraging email, then heaven help you when troubled times really come. It's time for disciples to have a conviction that I'm a man or a woman of God, and I've got a bit of fight in me, and I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I'm going through something right now, but I tell you what, I'm going to put on the full armor. I'm going to get to mega prayer night. I'm going to get into connect. I'm going to get people to come and pray for me, because there's time for the church to be revived again in knowing that all of these things that we're going through, all of these fights that we feel that we're fighting, they're not solved by a Facebook rant. They're not solved by writing another blog. They're solved by men and women, ordinary people like you and I, contending for our faith and standing firm on our knees in prayer. Turn to someone and say, stand firm. Come on, turn to the other person and say, stand firm. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for that?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.